Excellent.
Good evening. It's September 16th, 2020. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. You'll please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence to honor the several police officers that have been killed and injured in the past weeks, as well as all of our first responders and servicemen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. First on the agenda are the minutes from the executive session of August 5th. These had been tabled a couple of times for clarification in executive session, and they are now before the committee unless anyone has any comments. Or is there a motion to approve the minutes of the executive session as currently provided from the meeting of August 5th, 2020?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we have the minutes of the, I'd like to take these separately, the regular meeting of August 19th. That was the minutes that we tabled last meeting because we didn't have enough time to review them. That was a rather long meeting. I have a couple of comments. I think, as we've all gone through very clearly, these minutes are not a transcription of everything that was said. I would like to suggest, though, that I think we've erred on the side of too little content, specifically in the portion related to the introduction of Ordinance 2020-10. There's only one comment from the committee that is cited, and that comment was sort of an allegation, and there were other comments made on the other side of that allegation which weren't included. I would like to have those included. I would also note that I think some of the important legal points that were made should be included in the minutes. I'm looking at the newspaper article from the Hunterdon Review where they captured, I think, a good synopsis, and they captured the following statement that I would like included in the minutes at the clerk's discretion to make sure it matches the actual recording. They state, Township Attorney Matt Lyons and Township Administrator James Barbaria both said they feel this change, being the amended historian's ordinance, this change is necessary because of the strict laws which govern public employees. Quote, public employees have a lot of rights and there are a lot of requirements with public employees, Attorney Lyons said. This resolution is for the protection of the historians. We don't want to place a volunteer board in a supervisory role. We don't want to put that on volunteers, end of quote, and there's additional to it. But I think that's an important comment to be captured in the minutes as to why we're doing this. So unless anyone would like to motion to approve them, I would suggest we table these for some revision.
Well, won't the minutes in the future start to reflect our actions instead of changing?
But I think we... Just like the last minutes we went through, these minutes are to reflect what happened at that that meeting. I'm only asking to include things that happened at that meeting.
I understand that, but I'm thinking down the road, I mean, I could start, you know, how often are we going to start doing that if we don't like the way something reads? Is it that significant, do you think?
To me, it is. If someone wants to make a motion and we have a vote, that's fine, but I'm proposing that we edit these.
So then my question is with these minutes, not what you stated just now, Mike, but was there other discussion held that related it to what you just said, or we have to check the minutes to find out? In other words, for clarity,
yeah,
were there other comments by other members that weren't?
There always are, and that's why I said I never am asking for every comment made by everyone to be put in. It's not a transcription of everything that was said. There's some, you know, clarification questions now and then. None of those should be stated. This just felt like we erred on the side of
too little,
not including some of the key points relevant to the discussion.
That would be unfortunate. if we didn't have a true depiction of history right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, because I would like, well, if we table him again, I'd like to listen to that tape because...
There you go.
In my own mind, I mean, maybe I didn't say this, but I was thinking what changed since we minced words in October of 2018 when the attorney was here and heard everything we said and minced the words to get them right so that there wasn't a problem with the laws. I know the laws haven't changed. So I didn't want to make this look like something we screwed up in October of 2018 because we didn't.
I have no problem if we screwed up, and this committee and any committees in the past well, make mistakes in ordinances.
It has nothing to do with making up the mistakes. It has to do with I want to make sure that it's not somebody looks at this and thinks it's more about, well, they're making something better that was wrong back in 2018, and it wasn't. There are other issues that are causing a lot of what's going on here.
I would ask that we defer that discussion to the point. Right now, let's keep it focused on the minutes, whether we'd like to expand the minutes or whether anyone would like to approve these minutes.
It sounds like we need to listen to the tape.
Yeah, and that's also why I'm not proposing specific language, because we do have the tape. I think we
I don't want to listen to look at the newspaper and then think that that's,
exactly.
You know, take that's it. And the other thing is I had something that needs to be changed in here from my own old business thing. So
do you want to put that into... Do you want to put that in? Yeah, I think, I mean, we normally propose changing minutes. So.
Yeah, under the old business where I talked about the 19th Amendment, the last sentence where it says, Ms. Kohler provided additional history on the 19th Amendment becoming law. It wasn't that. It was Ms. Kohler provided additional history that regarding how the premise of the 19th Amendment was strengthened with the signing of the Civil Rights Act of 1965. That's what I said.
I'm only wondering, should we take a vote right now to include that, or should we ask Karen to put it in the next version?
We're going to do it all at once.
Yeah, whatever's
easy. I mean, if we're tabling it for the other purpose, let's table it all and have it edited. Yep.
Right.
Okay, so we'll table those minutes. Now, I'm sensitive to your point, Brian, about what we're doing with all the minutes, but I think here we have an issue where under the COVID rules, where, you know, some people are in the room, some people are listening, I think it's difficult to capture everything. And I think there's a material point to clarify in the executive minutes from August 19th. It's really kind of a yes or no, but I would like to table those for discussion in executive session tonight. Okay. Which then takes us to the minutes of the regular and executive meetings of September 2nd, 2020, which I'd be prepared to vote on tonight. I look to the committee if anyone has any comments or questions on the minutes from September 2nd, 2020, regular and executive.
Nobody has any comment. I'll make a motion to approve September 2nd regular and executive meeting minutes.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Now we would open the meeting to public comment, reminding everyone that this meeting is recorded and posted on the internet soon. Also reminding everyone that for comments specific to the historian's ordinance, there will be a public hearing specific to that topic following this. And then the final point, the entire call, everyone participating on the phone has been muted. You will need to press *6 to unmute yourself, as well as whatever you might need to do for unmuting yourself.
Did Mark say executive for September 2nd also?
Yes.
Okay.
So is there a motion to open to public comment limited to agenda items only?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, if anyone would like to make a comment on any of the agenda items, ideally other than the historian's ordinance, because we'll deal with that separately, press *6 to unmute yourself. Hearing no comments, is there a motion to close the public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Which takes us to the ordinance 2020-10. And before I ask for a motion to open the public hearing, I would like to address a little bit of background and propose an action item. I would like to remind us all that the only matter really before the committee tonight for action is the amended ordinance that was introduced two meetings ago. It's been published to the news, published in the newspaper, made the public aware. So for tonight, narrowly, the discussion would be on that, on that ordinance. Obviously, we can talk more broadly. I did attend the historians meeting last week. Liaison Tom McKee also attended, participated in that meeting. We heard that the historians have quite a few points of discussion that, they would like to be heard on, potential revisions to the rest, other parts of the ordinance and the like. I'm going to propose that the township committee establish a subcommittee consisting of Liaison McKee, Brian Wonder, that they form a subcommittee to work with the subcommittee of the historians, and as conveniently as they're able to move forward, that they prepare recommendations to come back to this committee. If there's no objection, I would make that nomination now and look for a motion to endorse that subcommittee being established by this committee.
I'll make that motion to endorse that subcommittee. Now, does this mean we're tabling?
No. This is just a
we have
a
to
step
have a
ahead.
Hearing.
Yeah, we have to have a public hearing.
We
have to.
We noticed it.
We have to vote this up or down.
Is this a vote we're looking for at this point? To
there's a motion on the table to establish that subcommittee, so we're looking for a second to that.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you for indulging that action. Now, back to the motion at hand. Ms. Kohler also just asked a couple of questions about some of the background, which I wanted to highlight a little bit here as well. Almost 2 years or so ago, when this ordinance was first introduced, and this is what I tried to say last meeting, we tried to put in words how to describe collaboration. Shortly after, but collaboration between the historians and the museum specifically. Museum curator, to me, that's all one. There are people, there's a place. In conversations at historians' meetings, and it's captured clearly in their minutes, there was it was unclear to them, what does collaboration mean? What do we do? What don't we do? In April of 2017, at the Lebanon Township Committee meeting, certain issues came to our attention. We went into executive session to discuss exactly this matter, personnel matters related to management of the of that committee. We got of that situation. We got legal advice. We came out of that executive session. We made a public motion, made by Ms. Kohler, seconded by Mr. McKee, carried by unanimous favorable roll call vote. The township committee stated clearly that the museum curator is an employee of township, that the township is therefore required to enforce all rights and obligations of the employee-employer relationship, and that the employee is subject to all of the policies and procedures of the township as set forth in the administrative code and policies, and also avails to all of the protections of those policies. Then we went on to clarify how the historian committee would bring topics to the township committee through a vote of its vote of itself as covered by the ordinance. So my point to just mention this is, everyone thought, legal advice and the like, that we knew what we were introducing the first time. We discovered there was a lack of clarity. Mm-hmm. On advice of the attorney, we made a motion to clarify that policy. Again, the thought was at the time that with that clarification, the ordinance stood and was acceptable. What we found over the past year was that there continued to be, let me back up, for some time, for whatever reason, different events, there seemed to not be any more questions about how things operated. Then, of course, COVID changed everything, so for a number of months, things quieted down because everything quieted down. Over the last couple of months, it shows up in the historians' minutes that they again started to ask, well, how, what is our role? What do we do? And to clarify, again, on the attorney's advice, it now became clear that we have a defect in our ordinance. The defect is that two different people can read it and understand it differently. And as I tried to quote the attorney in the newspaper, there is an interpretation that says, We've let non-employees manage township employees, which creates a liability risk not only for those individuals, because now they could point, someone could point to an ordinance and say, you empowered me, I wasn't trained, I didn't know how to interact with an employee, and I said things, I did things I shouldn't do. same thing, the township can be liable because we have, arguably, people could interpret that we've empowered people to manage employees that we haven't trained, don't take responsibility for. So the, when this was introduced, and it still stands that way, it's, in my mind, a technical correction of a defect in the ordinance to make it clear that the historian committee is not a management committee, it's an advisory committee, and that's the attempt. And if you, when you read through it, you'll see we didn't change the, as I tried to say last week, all of the good work that the historians can be involved in, all of the advice that we take from them. It doesn't limit anything that they did previously. And then you can debate, well, if someone read the ordinance in a different way, you can say now we're limiting it, but that's, I believe, on the attorney's advice, what we have to limit, to limit the liability exposure to the individuals, to the township. So I thank you for indulging me. I don't know if we should have any more discussion before the public discussion, and then the committee, everyone, I want to give everybody a chance to say anything they want to do. I'm just trying to make sure we do it in a reasonable order. If anyone objects and would like to make a statement now, you can, but we could open to the public hearing, then have a full committee discussion after that. However, people
I'd
like.
I'd say I'll make a motion to open it to the public hearing first, because that way we'll hear if there are any other questions, and then we can add them to our list if we want to address.
Is that a motion?
So that's the motion.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, we have a representative nominated from the historian committee in the room. We'll ask. She's indicating she'd like to speak, and
is
we'll
this
let
on?
Her speak first. Yes. If the
roll
red light's on.
Huh? Okay.
Yep.
There you go.
Lori Hoffman, member of the historian committee. Okay, this motion in the beginning, I think, can change things for us. So I want to just read into the record. All the committee people have it. So the historians, in 1973, the first Lebanon Township Historical Society was appointed to accumulate and research all pertinent information on the history of the township, to supply this information to all citizens, to provide for the historical education of all citizens, to ensure the acquisition and preservation of historic sites within the township, to establish and maintain a historic museum for all citizens of the township, to encourage the interest of all citizens of the township, and to improve the understanding and appreciation of the historical background of their heritage. That was the original mission statement in the formation of the Lebanon Township Historians. We feel that holds true to this day, 47 years later. For all those years, the museum and historians have worked together to provide historical information to our township, with the museum being the central figure. The historians want no more than to be able to review what is being planned at the museum, as we have for the last 47 years. We have confidence in the curator and assistant curator, and appreciate the job that they are doing. We have no interest in managing any employees of the township. What I would like to hear, I don't know if Gina's listening or Robert Ian, I think I can speak for every historian. No one has anything against what they are, the curators are doing at the thing. We have curved comments.
And just to interject, there are municipal policies before we can speak about
individuals,
so we can't speak
okay.
about any.
And we try to do that too. So
I know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, she can, we can't. Right?
Well, I will still stick with curators.
Okay.
We agree with most of what she, I would say everything she does. It's the process. That is where our concern. But I want, because we have heard comments that she thinks that we don't appreciate what she does. And we have told her, it's come out in meetings, but I want the public to know what the curators of our museum have done a fabulous job. She has a lot of energy. We do support what she wants. What the historians want is to have a part of that decision-making of it. So let me just... So our goal is only to assure that the building and grounds maintain their historic integrity and accuracy. As with other museums that have directors' boards, we feel the historian committee provides that review. So really, the historians, what they have voted for me to present to you is that we're asking for a delay to have that opportunity to protect that we have that assurance to keep the integrity of the museum. We never would want to tell an employee, and I don't think we have ever told her what to do. With this new committee that you brought up in it, see, and I can't speak for the other ones, but I think if we can sit down and have this discussion that we were hoping that we could have had before this ordinance came to. So for me personally, I would love to have that for us so that it's put in black and white. So is the roles and responsibility of everyone involved. I think the curators will know what they're to do, the historians will know, and then ultimately the township committee. We know that in the end the committee would do, but you will know your responsibility. That's all we're asking for. And I think by you appointing that committee, that I think we can move forward. But I'm speaking personally, not for the historians.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now.
That will, we will ask for any other comments from the public. Again, press star 6 to unmute yourself in the system and potentially star.
Thank you very much. This is Gene Polinski. I'm at 186 Raritan River Road. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Wonderful. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak on this amended ordinance. I strongly support passing this amendment because it provides a simple, effective, and legally defensible structure for defining how the volunteer historians interact with township employee museum staff. I had also attended the historians meeting last week, and I think it's important to note that a subset of the historians disagree with this amended ordinance, but another subset agree. And I also think it's important to note that at last week's meeting, people were using the word advise and control and manage interchangeably. So I think a subset of the historians committee does believe that if they take a vote and that vote passes, then that action must be taken by the curator. Let me also respond to some other comments that were made at last week's meeting. So David Overacre gave a very good description of best practices that are put out by the American Museum Association, and I probably have that name wrong. But those best practices tend to be very strong on museum issues such as acquisition and documentation and curator. They're wonderful in that area. However, those best practices tend to be much weaker on management issues, such as integrating museum policies with union contracts and employment law. That's to be expected because each museum exists in its own context of union contracts, state employment laws, which leaves the American Museum Organization with only the ability to give generic advice, having a board of directors and that sort of thing. But using the best practices from the American Museum Organization is like crossing a street and looking one way. What I'd like to do is to look the other way and talk about best practices in management. And we are really talking about management issues here. That's what we are facing. We're not facing museum curation issues. We're facing management issues. The current structure that connects the museum with the historians is, I believe, confusing at best, which is why we're here tonight. And it's why I support the amended ordinance that stands before you. I believe that the amended ordinance provides a simple management structure. Management best practice is the simplest management structure that meets your objectives is the best structure. Having the curator report to township employees is correct. Inserting a volunteer group in some unclear fashion between the curator and township or alongside the township leads to confusion, unclear boundaries, inefficiency, and possible breach of union or employment agreement. That's why I strongly support the management structure outlined in the amended ordinance. I think it is absolutely right. Best practice management structures clearly define roles, responsibility, accountability, and authority of all parties. I think it's important to repeat that. Best practice management structures clearly define roles, responsibility, accountability, and authority of all parties. The amended ordinance meets those requirements. It reinforces the formal supervisory structure for the curator, and that the supervisor is a township employee. And interestingly enough, it allows the historians everything they want. It allows the historians a simple pathway to provide their advice through the township governance structure. And it protects both the township and the historians from employment or union issues. This is exactly what you want. Regarding this request for delay, to the best of my knowledge, all the public notices were properly filed. I see no reason for a delay. In summary, I strongly encourage you to pass the amended ordinance as it stands in front of you. It provides the historians with an advisory role that they desire while putting in place a simple, efficient, and legally defensible management structure. Thank you for your time and your attention to this matter. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Would the next person please identify yourself?
Hi, this is Jeanette Slager, Pleasant Grove Road.
The floor is yours.
First off, Brian, when you speak, can you get a little closer to the microphone because it's hard to hear you?
Okay.
Thank you. So, historians, kind of in my bloodline. My dad started it. It was his idea to start the historians and the recreation committee when he was mayor years ago. And the township went along with the other two committee members because there's only three back then. My grandmother was appointed the chairperson. And they were started to preserve and teach the history of our township. The museum was one of the first projects. And everybody worked together to get it done and accomplish this goal, and it's become one of the township's landmarks. The curators in the past and the historians all work together, and I know change is good, but it needs to be done in increments and not like full-blown things all at once. According to this ordinance, I guess, from what I listened to the minutes last meeting, is that any suggestions the historians have is going to go through you, the township, and then you can advise the curator. My question is, the way some of the committee has been the past year, are you going to heed their advice or just ignore it? The historians are very dedicated and proud of the township's history. They've done a lot of work. It's their job, so to speak, to preserve and teach our community. It'd be nice if they got a pat on the back every now and then instead of being denied what they signed up for. They commit a lot of the time, as have the other committees in our township. They should be applauded and encouraged for their ideas and dedication. The problem is too many politics are starting to get into this, and politics should not be part of it. Once that happens, people get discouraged. Nobody needs that. It's not what they signed up for. We're all adults, and we need to start working together and acting like adults so goals can be reached. I thought I saw an earthquake earlier today, but I realized it must have been my grandmother up the road rolling in her grave. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next person, identify yourself.
Hi, this is Laramie Silber on Musconetcong River Road, and I am speaking in support of delaying a vote on the ordinance until the subcommittee of the historians and the subcommittee that was just created by the township committee can meet and speak. From what I've seen of the situation, I also attended the historians meeting last week, as well as the last several committee meetings, so this has come up. And a solution that's going to satisfy all of the parties, I really think, is possible with thoughtful, deliberate, transparent process. And it would be a real shame to lose the opportunity for that kind of solution to undo haste. There's a path forward, and I think we should give an opportunity for that to work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If there's another comment, please identify yourself. And press star 6 if you're not hearing yourself. If you're not, you might be muted. Anyone else asking?
Oh.
Yes.
Hi. Vic Hoffman, Chairman of the Historians. I've been listening to your meeting tonight. It sounds good, like we could go forward. But I feel, until we have that opportunity, I really would like to see this amendment, tabled. So we have time to actually just sit down and then, like cool heads, just prevail and discuss what, you know, what's good for everybody. We've been around. We haven't, you know, as Lori read into the record tonight, we've worked with the curators for close to 50 years, and we still intend to do that. But we'd like to be included. We'd like to have our feelings felt. And at the present time, I don't feel we've had that opportunity. So I'd appreciate if you just could take the time, and unless it's a dire emergency, table the ordinance for a month or so. We can come, you know, everybody's happy, and township business goes on, and we have harmony among all the people. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Catherine Top.
The floor is yours.
Catherine Cox, 186 Raritan River Road. I'm the vice chairman of the historians. I do not agree with the previous callers of that say that they are members of the historians or Laramie. Sorry, but this issue has been rearing its ugly head for over a year and a half. There are a lot of hard feelings. And I really feel that this ordinance change is vital, and we should do it as quickly as possible, or this animosity will drag on and drag on. Yes, Lori Hoffman was absolutely correct. 47 years ago, this was formed to create a museum. The museum is created, is a functioning, well-established property that no longer needs the historians to tell it what to do. However, what the museum does need are able-bodied people, of members of the historians, to come to the museum, COVID or not, either by mail, email, or in body, and actually lend a hand. None of the historians that have complained about issues have actually done this. We are data processing, we are taking new accessions, we are constantly working on cleaning, restoring, building, and making the fabulous institution that this museum is. But we have gotten very, very little help from the so-called historians. We've had outside volunteers, and we've had a couple of historians that have done actual physical work at the museum, and that is what is necessary. And it seems to be this great problem between the management of the historians and the actual work that's being done. And that's what's creating the rub. So this change in the ordinance is vital, because we cannot, as an institution, tell the museum what to do, whether it's the color of the benches or the color of the carpet or whatever. The curators are employees of the township and have the right to make those decisions. We have empowered them to do it. We no longer need such an organization to tell them what to do, any more than we need an organization to tell Warren Gabriel what potholes to fill, or the chief of police how to monitor the township. It is not our job. Our job is purely to advise when we see something that either we don't like, help when we see things we do want to be involved in, and expand the historical knowledge of the township. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Would the next commenter, if there is one, identify yourself? And again, you may need to press star 6 to unmute your line. Last call if I'm not hearing any comments. Hearing no more comments from the public, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
Make a motion to close public hearing.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So now committee discussion, as I promised, as much as you want to discuss.
I think we should vote this down tonight. It doesn't make sense to me to have a committee formed and then have this go through and then spend more money to recreate it.
Animosity is going to exist whether we go with this one way or the other right now, it sounds like. So we need to take a step back and get a sit-down going with me, Tom.
And my opinion is that we've identified a defect. The town now knows that we're exposed to liability. The individuals are exposed to liability. It could take some time, and rightly so, will take some time for the historian subcommittee and our subcommittee to work together. Then we'll be at the end of the year where we lose the window for passing ordinances. I think we should take the action that I believe we need to take as a technical matter and then continue the discussion on potential changes. As was stated earlier, I don't believe this changes the role of the historians. Going to Jeanette, Ms. Slyker's point, every time I start a discussion, I say the valuable, good work that the historians do. I think the historians are crucial as part of the culture of this township. And I don't recall, as they say, they like what the museum has done. I don't recall advice from the historians that has been rejected now. Public is closed, so I'll get corrected soon after, I'm sure. But I think things are working well. I think this is a technical correction that needs to be made because we've seen for more than a year and a half confusion in terms of what the actual rights, roles, responsibilities are.
Well, if this is approved, it's not going to help the animosity, and it's not going to stop personal opinions from that committee regarding anything.
And as you stated, I think if it's approved or not approved, right now we've got those issues that we have to work through. And I'm hoping the subcommittee is a start for that. I can give my personal commitment, and I assume, you know, I can't speak for the whole committee, but we accept their advice. We listen to their advice. If the advice requires directing township employees to take different action, we hear that, we have that channel, that's our responsibility to take, and that's what I try to live up to.
Do we have a defect? Do we have a big exposure?
Well, it's been brought to our attention, and everybody has agreed up until when this was drafted that there was a dispute as to the interpretation, and that it's been brought to our attention as the governing body that members of the committee, of the historians committee, were interpreting it as written, which was not the intent of the writing, clearly, that there was a supervisory management function to be performed. As it was stated earlier, the employee-employer relationship is between the township proper and the employees. We cannot delegate that away. It was never our intent to delegate that away. As you're aware, I'm not involved in the meetings or the daily interactions that have occurred. But it's been brought to our attention that there have been incidents where there has been an assertion that the employer-employee relationship is the historians to the mentioned employees. And I don't want, you know, we'll have a discussion about what employees did or didn't do. So therefore, if that that has been announced, that has been in action, has occurred as the interpretation by a certain portion of the historians, whether it's a majority, whether it's individuals, is irrelevant, that they are using that perceived conflict or that different interpretation. I will concede, you know, there's different ways to interpret things, and that's why we have courts. And it's been evidenced to us, been told to us directly, that it's being interpreted, has been interpreted in the past, that is the employee-employer relationship. And we cannot allow that to happen because, as stated, and we're here all the time with unrelated issues, this governing body is well aware, as is the administration, of our obligations to our employees under New Jersey employment law, under our collective bargaining agreements, and so on and so forth. It is unfair, unwise, and ill-advised to push that responsibility onto an all-volunteer board, and again, to not have them trained in that regard. It absolutely presents a risk to the township, and that's why we're taking the steps to simply clarify the employer-employee relationship and to make it clear in the ordinance that it is the township that is the employer in this instance. Does that, you know, that's my response to your question.
My view is that, you know, we're set up here to make sure to protect the township from exposure. This is an avenue I see that there is exposure for the township. It doesn't change their role by dealing with this now, and then we've established we're open to the idea of a subcommittee that can help define what their role is. But I also feel this isn't something that's going to be resolved in 2 weeks, because I think it's a similar thing of a negotiation where in their ordinance that they gave to us as their role was the historical committee shall also serve as a partial fulfillment of the governance role. They want to govern the museum of the museum. So their position is to govern the museum. The museum is an extension of the curator. I think they have a very strong position on one side what they want to do. It's in the written in their ordinance. We know they can't govern the museum or the curator. So we need to make sure we establish the protection of our employee. It's not going to change what they can do. And, you know, when they were established as a historical group 43 years ago, it wasn't anywhere in paper. This was the first ordinance that was ever created that actually established them in the history. While they may have been announced as group, there was no historical document that said this is a historical society. So this was our first attempt at it in doing it in 43 years or 47 years or whatever the value was. You know, there was a flaw in it. I think we have to correct that flaw for the protection of the town and then figure out how Tom and Brian can sit down there and figure out what can we put in there to satisfy their feeling, but it can't be to govern the museum or govern the curator. That's what our role is, what the, you know, our professionals that we hire to do.
Now, you're taking the govern out of what the amendment, suggested amendment was? Or
yeah, it was
not ours.
No, they're
right, theirs, but that's not where we're voting.
No, but what I'm saying is that, so their position of what they sent to us was this governance role for the township.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that. That's the position that I see them having at this moment. And we know we can't.
That's the position, but that's not what we're actually voting on.
No, but no, what I'm saying is, when we're talking about why we would vote now or not, is if that's a position that's being presented, it's a far distance. So I don't see this getting resolved until next year. And I don't want to see the township 6 months, 7 months, still having this exposure and confusion about who is managing that curator. This resolves that. It clearly defines that there isn't any historians managing the curator. Now we have something that the township is protected, and the two of you can sit down with the historians and come up with something that satisfies their need to move forward.
Why can't you just put a statement in there that says none of this language on collaboration means that?
But we did that on the where you the meeting that you came out and you voted for it. You did that.
Yes. Yeah,
clearly,
so
it didn't work.
Then what's the Well, then no. It didn't work because people are misinterpreting. But if it's in there, then it's in there.
But I think that we need to have it on an ordinance. That really, you know, that needs to be an ordinance. My hope was that by setting up a subcommittee, that there'd be an understanding by all parties included here that the township needed to go in a direction to protect themselves in the event of, that we were protected, and that the historians would understand that we're reaching out and we want to sit down with everyone and we want to figure out what is the best possible way going forward, how they have the interaction that they need to have to feel right, and we have the security of knowing that the curator is in a good position under public law and we're following that. That was my hope. It hasn't really helped, I don't think. There's a couple people that feel strongly for the ordinance. I was hoping to mesh this together and try to have some come to the meeting of the minds where we start developing trust with each other. That was my hope. I do feel that part of me saying, knowing what I know now, there's no way I cannot vote for our ordinance and the liabilities and the public law that's there. But I'm hoping that the historians will be able to understand that we're reaching out and we want to sit down and we want to go over this and figure out what is the best way to amend this ordinance that we're looking at right now tonight in the future.
If we got sued in 3 months by the curator because something was said or told her to do, how would you feel?
Hey, it's all subject to interpretation.
We can be sued whether we pass this or not.
Yeah, but this is protecting
right now.
How many times have you said I overthought things?
Yeah.
You know, but now because it's this. And to tell you the truth,
we're on notice now that the language is being interpreted by people to provide that direct oversight of the employee. Now we're on notice of it.
I'm just really, really sad and disgusted over what I've heard over the past couple of weeks from different people that I've interviewed, from letters that I've read, and I'm seeing a situation where this is just part of a bigger systemic problem at that museum. And every time I ride by that museum, I feel sad. I feel like it's no longer a township building. I feel like it's a private club that are run by a handful of people, that you have some people that are on the historians that will abstain from a vote because it's too political in nature or somebody's not going to like them. And it feels ineffective to me. And as I brought up last time, I said there's somebody on this committee who's put a significant, I'm talking about $100,000 of their own money into that museum. And I just feel it's a conflict of interest because it's too much power. If it comes from the heart, it's one thing. And I can't say where it's coming from. That's up to the person. But from what I hear, it's a quid pro quo situation. And there's a lot of interest by that person in the museum and their significant other, and I think that's great. They love history. But just human nature being what it is, some people are really mesmerized by people that they think have money. And what's happening is our clerk, who's the supervisor, is being circumvented. And believe me, I think Robbie Lynn and Gina have done a fantastic job.
We're not allowed to speak about employees.
The curators have done a fantastic job.
I don't think we're allowed to speak about the position as committee members.
We can't even say curators?
I'm looking to the attorney.
Let's not get into a situation where we evaluate employees' performance without providing them with the Rice notice.
I think the museum has come a long way from where it was. I think it's good what's happening down there, but I don't understand why there's this handful of people. I'm getting the same common thread, whoever I talk to, that there's a handful of people that seem to be calling all the shots. And let's see if there's anything else I had here.
Could I just interject?
Yeah.
We heard from one of the members of the historians present tonight that they think the museum is going very well. They like things going on at the museum. I just throw that into the record that there's a completely different view from the view you're expressing, which doesn't mean your view is wrong. I'm just saying that there are different views out there.
Well, they didn't say anything. They said the museum is going well.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a key to that museum?
I do have a key to that museum.
Do you have a key to that museum? I don't. Do you have a key to that museum? Do you have a key to that museum?
I don't know what our policy is on that, but...
But I think we're off the subject right now.
I know. I need to talk about whatever I need to talk about.
That's fine.
So I just want to say that it's good. It could be so good. But when I hear all this inner fighting and, you know, and you can stop me, Matt, but, you know, there were people on the phone tonight that live in the same house that have a vested interest in defending somebody who's on the historians. The addresses were the same. You heard it. And I don't want it to look like that this is something that should happen from just a resident that has no interest in what's going on here, because that's not the case in the case tonight. So I just feel like we've spent so much time on this. I can't believe it. I just can't believe what a waste of time when there's so many other things going on that it's you're going to lose people on that committee. Maybe you want that. Maybe you want to lose historians.
I think you're missing about four people that want to quit. That's not what anyone wants, Beth.
Well, it may happen, whether you like it or not.
Well, I was hoping that with Brian, same point of view that you have, myself with a differing point of view, going to the committee, that they saw not like-minded people coming to meet them to work out this problem, all the things you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping that we could come to some kind of understanding that this meeting, this group, meeting with the historian group, and coming back here to talk to this committee, they're going back to theirs, that we would rehash this thing and get to somewheres that everyone's happy with. Because I surely don't want to see anyone leaving the historic committee.
Unfortunately, Bev, before you were on the committee, there was members of that group that left. Too, that I know, and that called me, and basically because they said they spent the time sitting there while people just bickered back and forth about things, and they were just tired of it. So it's not an uncommon problem, I think, with that group and a lot of things. I don't know why. I can't answer why. But I think because of that, we have to make sure we protect the curator, the museum, and the township. Because I've seen it for the time I've been here, bickering over stupid little things, just even laptops. I was there on a meeting where they were bickering over a laptop. So, which has nothing to do with anything. So, my concern is I've seen this happen over simple things. And this is a major thing. And I think we have to protect the township, and that's why we're here, to protect the township. And that's a township employee in a township building.
When it's convenient for you, right?
Well, for me? How is it convenient? I'm curious why it's convenient. Brian, please. I really would like to understand how you think it's convenient for me. Like, what do I get out of this?
Think about some of the things that have happened here.
What?
We'll go with the topic if I say it.
Please, I'm thrilled. I want to understand what is going through your head that you think you... What conspiracy theory you have rolling around in there?
That's what you think it is.
Okay, Bev. I do not understand anything you're saying.
You never do.
Yes.
You never do.
I don't understand it.
I wonder why.
The floor is yours.
Been involved in a lot of organizations. It's not just the historians that have problems. Trust me, it doesn't matter what organization it is. There's always issues that have to be worked out. There's always differences. But Tom and I are going to have to work hard on this. And
oh, absolutely.
Try to bring this together.
I agree, Brian. This is going to... It's first of all, we got to build trust with the historians. At least I do.
I see a procedural, mechanics way where this has to...
You know,
have
I hope you're good at taking
command,
notes.
Let's say, you know? For lack of a good word, I don't want to use that command word because I don't want to be like we're being big bosses here.
My suggestion
has to be
would
structured.
Be
has to be very well structured.
To move forward. And my hope would be that the historians would get together with their group, who it will be,
and contact us, and we start setting up some meetings and see what we want to do. There's was four of them. I don't know if there's still four or what the group is. There's two of us, so if they can get a group together, you and I are going to have to be a little flexible, you know. And I think, you know, I know I feel that I just owe it to them to come and try to make something happen here that's positive. And when I say positive, across the board for everyone. That's my feeling. And how that purpose and powers that they talk about, what we do with that to institute it into a program that, like I said, everyone agrees. That's going to be difficult to get everybody to agree. But that's my hope.
Brian, do you feel it's important to protect the curator in that position in the museum?
Yeah, I get all that, Mark. I'm going to vote no to this. I'm going to be. I know the way it's going to go already. Obviously, I can do the numbers. So,
as it always does.
You know, that's the difference here, that Tom and I are going to work together.
Exactly.
You know, it's not going to be five votes.
It needed to be done this way.
I understand we have. I understand liability very clearly, but it is what it is, and we got to move forward.
I also feel that, like I said, I really, and I know, Matt, you probably disagree with me, but I think there's a big conflict of interest here, and I think that the person who put all that money into that museum should recuse themselves from the vote on this ordinance.
I'm in agreement with that, too.
Okay.
It's too much power.
As the public knows, they're all talking about me, and as I've hashed out a number of times, I see no conflict of interest here at all. So, unless there's any other discussion,
it's the member's decision whether to vote or not.
Yep. Unfortunately, we live in a world where things can be legal but not right. I understand that too.
So, unless there's any other discussion,
more of an ethical
in order to move through on the meeting, is there a motion to adopt Ordinance 2020-10?
I'll make that motion to adopt the ordinance that we've discussed tonight, that the mayor just referred to. I don't have my notes in front of me. Ordinance number 2020-10.
Yes.
And I say that with the hope that the historians are listening, that I will do what I can to make sure you have a voice and you're heard in our subcommittee going forward.
And I'm seconding it with the same statement. I understand what's needed. I've had conversations with them from both sides of this. I'm on the stance that we first step is we have to make sure the township is protected, and then we can feed into it what, and I have no problem feeding into this what needs to be done for them and to make them satisfy that they've met their role however they want to meet it, but I think we have to protect the township, and that's the key thing. So I'm, you know, I look forward to Brian and Tom coming, sitting down with them and coming back to us with something that satisfies their need. But I think our role is satisfied with making sure the township is protected.
Matt, does the member always have the right to recuse themselves or not? Is it up to the member to refuse themselves from the vote? You said it's up to the member.
Yes.
That's the way it is?
Yes.
Then how come you told Mark he had to recuse himself from the vote when we did the ionizers?
He presented the facts and asked for my opinion. I gave it to him. The decision on whether or not to recuse yourself rests with the elected official.
The tape you went, Mark, recuse yourself. That's what happened.
He gave me the facts, and I gave him advice. You are asking me whose decision it is. It is the decision of the elected official as to whether or not to recuse themselves. It's not my decision. I gave him advice. He followed. He made his decision.
More of a command than advice.
So we heard the motion and the second. Time for roll call vote.
Absolutely not.
No, what a small comment that obviously, yes, we have to get the liability locked down, but we need to focus on making this work. That's bottom line.
Yes.
Yes.
And I vote yes with great appreciation to the historians and hope that that things get back on track and work as well as they have for the last 47 years. Next on the agenda, we have Resolution 65-2020, which is a plenary retail consumption license renewal for the New Hampton Inn. The licensee has paid the filing fee of $200 to the state of New Jersey and township license fee of $2,500, therefore be it resolved that the township that the listed license be granted for a renewal for the 2021 year to the New Hampton Inn. Is there a discussion or a motion?
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 65-2020, retail consumption license.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And another retail consumption license, Resolution 66-2020. Same fees have been paid. This is for ATK Incorporated, trading as Tony's Restaurant and Pub, zip code Califon. License granted renewal for the 2021 year. Any discussion or a motion on Resolution 66-2020?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 66-2020.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Recuse?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And the third plenary retail consumption license, Resolution 67-2020. They've also paid their fee, and this would be for granting a renewal for the 2021 year for El Patron Mexican Restaurant, LLC. Any discussion or a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 67-2020.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Takes us to old business. First item on the old business agenda is scheduling diversity training.
Yeah,
before I turn it over to Mr. Barbera.
I spoke to the township clerk. She presented it to me last week with regards to the diversity training. That same day, the committee has a Board of Health meeting. So I'm going to try to get the get him in to come at 5:30. So the training will be from 5:30 to 6:30.
So for everyone's background, what we're talking about here is scheduling a special meeting of the Township Committee on October 7th, which would be ahead of our regular meeting. It's a Board of Health meeting. It looks like we'll have one. So if the committee is available to start at 5:30, we would then have an hour of diversity training.
And then
the half-hour Board of Health meeting and then the regular meeting. Do people know if that's
the only diversity? Is this a one-time deal?
No.
One
It's one training, though.
Yes,
for
training.
This committee.
He's coming for that.
He'll come for employees.
The elected officials, and we're going to have to do it for staff, and we can also have it for volunteers as well.
But that's what I mean. It's a one-hour session. That's it.
Yeah.
Diversity training.
Right.
Okay. Is it multiple choice?
If that works for everyone.
No work.
It's fine.
And now I reach out to the clerk. We need a motion to schedule a special meeting on October 7th starting at 5:30. Is that?
Yes, please.
Okay. That would be the motion if someone would care to make that.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next on the agenda
can
is...
I'm sorry.
Yep.
With the diversity training... through the committee, does that trickle down to subcommittees? I mean, as far as volunteer committees and so on and so forth.
As I've discussed
it
with
does.
Yeah, and we didn't. I didn't bring it up because I don't think we've got the logistics worked
okay,
out.
Okay, then I'll leave it alone.
I think what we need to do is work out some logistics to see if we can invite volunteers even to that meeting.
Okay.
Within the capacity of this room, or
okay.
whether we need to have a completely right. separate meeting.
Thank you.
But that is the intention.
Next would be anger management.
Maybe that's part of... This is sometimes called harassment training.
It's different.
If you hear the same... But this is all the same session.
Well, diversity is an enlightenment. Harassment is a part of diversity.
It's all part of the same training session for us. So next is the Volunteer Fire Department donation request.
Okay.
you I think you all have before you the request from the Volunteer Fire Department. Earlier this year, we approved the $40,000 of the normal $80,000 that they donation by the township. This year, we've added in our budget an additional $15,000, looking towards certain issues throughout the year, unknown with the COVID at the time, really, but we've has been a godsend because we ran a second crew. As I remember, I told you a few times that we had a second duty crew running, and their peak hours that they ran were Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. So they've added an additional cost to them. They fell into a donut hole, and they're short on their recouping for transportation. So I think that it's imperative that we add the extra $15,000 and approve the $55,000 that they're asking for. Just to give you a couple things that the chief has told me, the not only did this crew assist the primary crew, because of the long decontamination, the primary crew was held up. Second crew had to run. That was the need for the second crew. We normally don't have the second crew. So the funding from the fire department had drained. That's why I think it's imperative that we do give them the additional $15,000 this year. I just want to, they ran from March 1st to August 31st, 275 calls for EMS. So they were busy. And I think that the total calls to date are over 500. Fire and EMS together. So they've been very busy as a group. So I'm asking for the consideration of all the members here of the committee to approve this $55,000. And one last thing. Well, I have something to say after this, but I'm looking for help here. So if you would consider that, if someone has a motion or...
Is that the motion?
Go ahead.
You're looking for 55 plus.
No, 55. So, you know, normally it was an 80,000 yearly annual donation. This year we topped 15 in our budget for seeing some issues with the way things were being run. Fortunately, we did that with COVID because...
It's been tough right now.
So I'm asking that the total this year then would be 95,000 instead of 80,000. They're asking
but
for
the action 50. Now is to...
Approve the 55,000.
Approve the additional $55,000.
Yes.
I would
like
motion.
This committee's help.
Motion has been made.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 And I'd like to follow up with this here. I think it's important. The fire company is reaching out to the committee and thanking them for the purchase of the auto pulse unit that we did. It saved a life in New Lebanon Township. It's a portable resuscitation
CPR
thing.
Device.
Right. And they wanted to thank the committee for that because it did keep a life alive.
I'm seeing them up and down the road often.
Yeah.
They're moving.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. One last thing. Oh.
Yep.
Oh, where are we at here?
We're at old business.
Okay.
You've
okay,
got another old
you.
Business?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the 19-1 car is completely undrivable and in the process of being decommissioned.
That's
the mechanic who works on it over in Hampton told him not to put any more money into this. So that vehicle, they're not looking for a new one as of yet. But if one came up through the rotation of patrol cars, the fire department could use one, but they're not looking for one. So they took the advice of the mechanic, and the mechanic said, just stop repairing this car. So I think it's over here right now.
Yeah. Well, that's the one.
Yeah, Station 3. And what they're doing is they're decommissioning it, taking apparatus out of there, and then it will become in the town's coffers to purge it, as Warren usually does. So that's just an update for everyone on the 19-1 Tahoe. It's the older Tahoe. There's no action we need to take on that. I just wanted to make sure everyone was aware. Okay.
Any other old business?
I now have two proposals for the sink. Still got to get one more, but
did you ask for three?
Mike did.
Well, if he asks for three, then if we
no, only no, he's still waiting for the third one.
Right, but if we only need to ask for three, the third person doesn't respond.
I did ask for three. Yeah.
But if he's expecting it to come in.
Oh, if you expect
it. Well, I'm not, because we went to do it, but the door somehow got locked up, messed up in the utility room. We couldn't get in there. The police couldn't get in there either.
Oh.
Warren had it. So that arrangement fell through. So.
Oh.
But.
So secret.
Gotcha. Now I understand.
And I did contact the sign person that you led me to. And he's actually coming tomorrow, but he doesn't have to come in the building. He's just going to take some pictures outside. And he's going to update what he had already, I guess, once proposed to you.
Yeah. Well, we had talked about electronic signs way back when.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I think that's important, you know, that sign, please, and have send them down to the library, because that one's beat down there, too, the library sign.
Okay.
Well, are you asking for a replacement of the sign, not an electronic sign?
Electronic, yeah.
Oh, electronic sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we had talked about.
We had talked about it, but I don't know if it's...
Oh, whatever.
I thought we'd actually decided against it.
He's going to update his proposal. Okay. Well, we're going to need it to make decisions.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
And Jamie maybe is going to reach out to a couple
vendors,
so we'll get some...
Does he deal with non-electronic signs as well?
I didn't ask him, but I'm sure we can...
I think they did.
I'd like to get that as a comparison.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know it's going to be cheaper.
Well, of course, but...
We can break it up, too. We could have the Lebanon Township municipal building on top, which just has lights on it. You know, now you have nice LEDs and stuff, and then have a sign below that instead of it being one big screen. Because my concern is at nighttime, this thing's got to dim down.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's got to dim. We it's in a residential area.
Absolutely. That's my concern.
I see ones on highways where it blinds you, and you want something that's controllable for sure.
Yeah. But if he does I'm fairly certain they did. You know, like I said, the police one was getting whipped, and so was the library one that
we'll
was repaired.
Get some more vendors involved.
If he's here tomorrow, ask him when he sees
that.
I'm
not going to be here when he's here.
Or
he's
if there's a way to communicate with him.
He's coming up from South Jersey. He has to go to Trenton. He's like...
Well, I mean, just get a message asking him to mock up a replacement versus an electronic.
Yeah,
because I think when we last talked about that, and I think there's a discussion to be had for the amount that electronic sign costs, how much of the town sees it here, and maybe there's a better way to communicate, but that's for another full discussion.
Right, well, we talked about doing that at the library, too. The problem with that is how are you going to control it from here? And
well, I think you can on a keyboard, I think, once they're electronic.
Well,
but that's all for a bigger discussion. Okay. Thanks for that.
That's all good.
Any other old business?
Did you want to mention anything about Sliker and Anthony?
Oh,
please.
Yes.
September 28th, the work is going to start, and it'll go to about 3 weeks, Warren said. That's the reconstruction of this Sliker-Anthony triangle.
Do you happen to know if that intersection is completely closed, or if, like, sometimes where they do one lane at a time,
I don't know. I know that they're going to put some kind of cones and signs up there. That's all I heard. I didn't, you know, to direct traffic.
What about, like, paving, like, where the nursing home is in Little Brook? They're going to be doing anything...
Right now, it's the intersection of Anthony and Sliker.
We gave out the contract for the other part, but I think that's the normal TILCON schedule.
Yeah, it's not.
This is, as I understand, it's less than a half mile right at that intersection.
Mm-hmm.
Adjust the grade. Exactly.
But I think we're going on like our third year now waiting for TILCON to do that, aren't we?
Not that one. Red Mill Road.
Red Mill?
We're a couple years into it. But, and I know they've come out and looked, and Warren tells me that any day they'll show up, or the snow will be flying.
Noticed that Little Brook is getting really, really rough.
Yeah, they made
well, that's another update.
I'll tell you right now, it's rough. I take it every day when I come here.
Edges are getting soft. I mean, it's a wet spot.
Yeah.
Also, the
I don't have to know different.
I don't know if anybody knows the date. 5/13 is a Friday.
Friday, because I know on Facebook they talk about Friday. I reached out to the county engineer, and he says all expectations is that Friday it should be open by the end of the day. As long as there's no weather changes. It's paved, just guardrails and some minor things. So that will be lovely.
Any other old business? Otherwise, we already got some of the administrators' update.
Yeah, I have several things on the policy procedure manual update. It's 130 page document now, but I'm going to go over some stuff with Matt with regards to it. The appendix for the policy procedure manual, I completed that. That I'll also have to go over with Matt. That's the request, you know, leave form, harassment forms, employee evaluation forms, all those are all complete. What I'll be working on next is the employee descriptions for the policy and procedure manual. We can put employee descriptions in the manual so every member knows their role and what they do. We discussed the training, diversity harassment training, which will take place at 5:30 on October 7th. And I don't know if you want to discuss this, but town hall, the basement downstairs, we had RK Environmental come down on. Well, they came Friday just for a preliminary walkthrough. Then they came Monday. Myself, Warren, and Bev met with them. And he went downstairs, diagnosed, and I sent you guys the report so you can read it over, digest it. Came here today. Bev.
We were here all day.
Yeah, Bev was with him all day.
Upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah, he was just checking for, the air quality upstairs and every building, downstairs, headquarters, police headquarters, and everything like that. I think he said, I don't remember the email, he'll have a report for us sometime.
Yeah, I took copious notes. He asked me to send, because readings and I was writing things down for him and everything. So I'm going to send him that tonight when I go home. And then he said, give him at least 3 days, unless you really need it sooner. And I said, no, I want to have it right.
Yeah,
just get it right.
And then, but I did clarify with him because I had to do this on Monday. I asked him if it was okay for us to be working up here. He said, yes, it was fine. So
yeah, he did. Yeah.
So, I thought he was very thorough.
He was really thorough.
Very good. And
what I heard from Lauren as well, and maybe just to get everybody thinking, when this building was built in the 1970s, vents were put under the concrete slab. Apparently that was somewhat normal. And I think there's either a mandatory or a highly recommended update that we need to get those cleaned, concrete filled in, which means rerunning ductwork up above. So we'll have to start getting quotes and think about a capital budget for reventing
the
basement.
There are a lot of when he's got some interim recommendations to keep us good in the interim, which and then we can get into that and see just how much we can afford to do. And you want to keep the place healthy, of course.
Absolutely.
But
right now, we got to get on a cleaning schedule.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you, he was. What was good about him, and just in my opinion, is that the mitigation, he probably knows many, many companies that we could, get the three quotes if we need it. I mean, it's an emergency. If it's an emergency, we don't have to worry about getting three quotes. But we want to get them because we still want to get the best price.
And he was actually also an OSHA worker at one point in time.
Yeah, and he trained them.
And he was actually giving ergodynamic computer for people, anyway.
Yeah, any time a vent like that gets wet, it's got to be clean.
And being under the floor.
It's never not going
to. Yeah. So I'm assuming, and I don't think it's a ridiculous number, but we're going to have to, and I don't know what that means even, but I think ridiculous within the scope of our capital budget, I think it'll fit, and we're going to have to prioritize that and get it.
And he actually took a lot of samples today. He took air samples and he took surface samples in every single room, and they're going to go out for testing. And just to measure certain levels.
So they probably take 3 days. Maybe
Yeah.
Okay. Any other?
That's it for now.
Okay, then we're on to new business. First item of new business is a request that we received from, I want to say, Eric Henriksen and Nancy Lawler, but now I'm struggling to see if it's in their capacity as the municipal representatives to the Musconetgung watershed. They also happen to be our Environmental Open Space Commission members, so I think it is as in their capacity as the Water Quality Program Coordinator, Musconetgung Watershed Association, is Ms. Lawler's. At any rate, they've been doing a study for some years, apparently, with Montclair State University, and they are now looking to propose to make a grant proposal to the Highlands Coalition, a grant entitled Action Planning in the Musconetgung River to Protect Drinking Water and Promote Recreational Access in the Hunterdon County Reach of the Musconetgung River. So they're reaching out to a number of townships, towns, and municipalities up and down the Musconetgung River. They're asking us if we would write a letter of support to go to the Hunterdon County freeholders in order to ask the freeholders to write kind of an umbrella letter of support to the Highlands Coalition. As I understand it, what they briefed me on a little bit is the They found in some parts, and I don't know if this is specific to Lebanon Township, but in some parts of the Muskinecon, by tracking bacteria and the like in the river, they can find up there someplace there's a leaking septic system, a failing septic system, and human bacteria is getting into the river. They also are able to find livestock and geese and deer population doing the same. So they're basically studying how to keep that river cleaner, but I think their real concern here is if septic failures are getting into the river, they're very potentially getting into wells on the way, they're getting into other public water sources, so it's a public health issue as well as an environmental issue. They are asking, as part of the municipality's commitment, although we're not committing in this letter, but if we sign this recommendation, we would be asked to engage in the quality assessment and action plan development, have three meetings between the Muskinecon Watershed Association and Montclair State University with the Municipal Environmental Commission and or Planning Board to review the report in the municipal government meeting, and to cooperate, providing access to municipal wells in the study area, facilitate outreach to other community well systems. Practically, I understand we may ask us to have our engineer perform some studies. Of course, not.
There's some funding for it.
Not coming from us. It would be us paying the engineer to do something and us committing to interact with them. But I believe this is a $700-some-thousand grant that they're asking for from the Highlands Coalition. So the letter of support doesn't commit us to providing funding, but we should assume that we would provide the kind of support that I mentioned. Any other comments, discussion, or would there be a motion to authorize the township to sign the letter of support to the Hunterdon County Board of Chosen Freeholders on behalf of the Muskinecon Watershed Association?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next is scheduling fall cleanup day, which I prefer to call dumpster day. This is from Joanne Fascinelli, who's our recycling coordinator. She would like to schedule the fall cleanup day. Obviously, she's coordinated this with Warren Gabriel and Karen Sendors. Schedule it for Saturday, November 21st, to be held at the Department of Public Works garage from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. This is the Saturday following our electronic scrap metal recycling event, so that's obviously November 14th. She'll get pricing as we've had in the past. We had this in the spring. This is very well received by residents, and the funding comes out of a Clean Communities grant that we get. I don't know if we need a motion to schedule that. I guess probably.
Make a motion to allow our recycling coordinator to schedule the fall cleanup day for Saturday, November 21st, 2020.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Any other new business from anyone? Otherwise, we're on to presentation of vouchers.
I have two. I have one for from Econo Signs for some road signs for $1,501.08, and I have one for asphalt paving systems for some aggregate for $63,318.20.
I got one here for Malone Construction Framing Contractors, LLP. It's the amount of $12,350. That's for the new doors here in front of the building. I guess we're approving this, but we're going to hold that until the work is completed satisfactorily.
Correct.
The other one is for Buscini Enterprises, LLC, water restoration in the amount of $1,406.80. That's for the library. And that's all.
I've got one payable to the Township of Holland. This is the first installment payment for our shared service agreement for a qualified purchasing agent in the amount of $1,000. I believe it's a $2,000 contract.
I think it was.
If it's $2,500 or $2,000, I don't, but this is half of that due.
That's all you got?
That's all I have.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have one for Winter Ford. This is for the 2020 Ford 1F50 4x4 for the police.
It's $43,591. So, assuming we got this, it's out there somewhere. Pick up truck.
I haven't seen it, but I heard it was coming very much.
Usually, you don't get the invoice till you get the vehicle.
Sometimes it doesn't go straight here. It goes to the radio.
Oh, it's got to get all the other stuff.
Yeah, they're still doing
it. Gotcha. That's all I have.
I have none that qualify.
So the total voucher list before us is $129,543.79. Is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Takes us to correspondence, tax collector's monthly report, which by tradition we read out. So this is dated September 10th, 2020, signed by our new tax collector, Anne-Marie Silvia. Taxes collected for the year 2020, $4,334,225.33. Taxes collected back from 2019, $10,653.98. Trailer park fees, $2,220. Interest collected of $5,669.07. For total receipts of $4,352,768.38. Next is curator's report.
I have nothing to add at this time.
And that takes us to public comment or any comment any member of the public would like to make. Is there a motion to open public comment?
I'll make a motion to open the public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, any member of the public who would like to make a comment, please. In the room, Ms. Hoffman is going to go first, so please hold off on the dial-in.
Okay. Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow Road. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and not the historians. So on this committee, we will come to something, because I believe the only concern the historians have, and we hear what you're saying, that it doesn't change things, but to us that it does, is that we want to keep the historic integrity of the building and grounds at the museum, not actual, and the artifacts and stuff like that. We all won't be here one day, so we want what we do today. You know, we have a great curator now. The next one might not be, and we want to be able for that to go into perpetuity. So, and then you were talking about that you aren't covered, but there's a motion that you've made on 4/17/19 that states clearly that the curator is an employee, that you kind of specified out, so I would say that yous are covered under that.
And that's what we read out, and it's a legal matter that an ordinance takes precedence, and so even despite that, there still okay. seemed to be some misinterpretation, so we needed to change the
okay. So we understand that separation. Yeah. We just want to be assured that, you know, the museum can't turn into something different than what it is. And we feel as historians that we've done that forever. Okay, then this is completely different. Now, is the fire department with their, because now they're a paid squad, are they basically covering their costs? I know that the COVID has to be really...
At this point, they're in the donut hole.
But overall, if we didn't have COVID, they would overall be covering?
More than likely.
The decon time is really killing them.
It has. Yeah. And,
well, I'm saying like on a normal, overall, like if we didn't have this point in time, that whole thing would be working.
I think they're 14 months into paid transport.
Really?
So the first 6 months of anything is a startup time, mm-hmm. and it takes time to collect. But they had very good progress being made.
Yeah.
Then COVID hit where everything slowed down.
They get
paid the same amount, and then they add twice the time for decon and things, and then they
switched their billing agency. They've done some things positive to help them streamline it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a work in motion, but it's starting to happen.
But they do go out often because we hear them all the time. Anytime they come down Bunville Road, we hear them. It's like constant. It's like nerve to me.
So what I'm saying is that they have a plan to have it pay for itself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, I just saw that they need, but I know it's COVID, is it?
Yeah.
So then the other thing is, I don't know if here's to bring it up, is a clarification of the subcommittees under the Sunshine Law. I don't know if that's a place here to bring that up or somewhere else.
Since you brought it up, we're going to ask the attorney clerk to clarify that.
Okay, before.
But not at this
okay.
meeting. We're going to follow up directly with you, but
okay.
but again, like anything, there's some interpretation. You're, and I don't know, attorney, if you'd like to even say something here, but you're not as strictly covered as, say, the planning board and other commissions of the township.
Well, that just would.
Yeah, clerk, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Linda, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. No, stay there, stay there. The clerk and I spoke on this at length last Friday, and we can update you as to the.
But just to give them guidance right now,
it's not as strict
as it had been.
Making decisions that bind the township.
Right.
Well, that helps us.
That's why.
Yes.
At least the historians, that will help us because we felt strict to that, and we would write that we couldn't. So if we're able
this will improve your ability to communicate as a.
Yes.
As
and I think that will help on other things. And then the other thing is the records. So Victor and I came up to the township, and we looked at the township minute meetings. They're very interesting. Anyone wants to take a look at them? We just wish that what they... It's probably the same thing you have here, and when you're discussing about what you want in the record for the last meeting, to be as a historical perspective is, it would say... So somewhere in there... So I looked in 79. So 1 month... Somebody from the historical, from Hunterdon County Historical, came to the township committee and said they're going to change the rules on declaring something a historic register. And so they asked the committee if they would commit to 124 places. So the next meeting, the township in 1979, so a lot of money, $20,000 to do this. But so far, unless it's in the future, but we have no list of what that 124 and if it was ever done. Like something is, we approved the clerk to send a record, send a letter. So that thing, so if you want to put more into your minutes, now that they're on thing is better. But my concern is a lot of them, they were very moldy.
And that's that we mentioned we had an environmental company down there. We're taking action to address that.
In the old, mostly the old original ordinances, they were in the book because they're done on different paper. They're stuck together. There were most cherished historic documents of this township that somehow, see, I know that the cost of preserving them the way they should be would be, you know, unless we could get a grant for that. I don't know if that's like a possibility, but some way we have to preserve them. And I know that for years we've talked about redoing that room. So now that you have the environmental in this, see, I was here before that. It was sad to see, and then we were only in 79. I didn't know they were back to the 1800s. So if we could do something on that. And other than that, I'm done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good to see you in person. And now we'll look to the, we'll call out on the dial-in number if anyone would like to make a public comment. Make sure you press *6 to unmute yourself and identify yourself, name and road.
Hi, this is Jeanette Slater, Pleasant Grove Road again.
The floor is yours.
You mentioned you're getting electronic signs for the municipal building.
We're looking into it. Nothing's been decided yet.
Okay. Well, that's fine, but you also talked about Bunvale Library. Have you met with the committee to see what they want to do, if they approve with electronic versus a similar sign that's there now? Because that is an older building, and I don't think electronic sign would fit with that building.
No, this was just excellent point you bring up. Thank you for that. But it's just a preliminary identification that our signs are in disrepair and we need to do something. So we're starting the brainstorm.
I just wanted to say that electronic sign would clash with that older building, I think.
Thank you for mentioning
that. Just keep that in mind.
Yep.
I agree.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Any other member of the public? If Again, you might have to press star 6 if you're not hearing a response. With that, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So as I mentioned at the beginning, we have one item for executive session that is to discuss the executive session minutes of August 19th. I do not expect action tonight. That would be resolution 68-2020 to go into executive session. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Since there'll be no action, we're going to hang up the phone call at this time. Thank you all for participating. And I will dial Karen.
Oh, I thought we were tabling until the next meeting.
Not the main meeting, but the executive session. Okay.